We begin with Psalm 119, verse 2, as we sang this morning. We'll continue on to the other verses in Psalm 119 that relate to whole heart. We're going to focus on this theme, a phrase of the psalmist throughout Psalm 119, six times, whole heart. So we're going to go from verse 2 to verse 10, verse 34, verse 58, verse 69, and verse 145 that you also just sang. Don't worry, I'll revisit those verses and guide you along the way. But we're going to look at those six times this idea of whole heart comes up, and we want to think about it together, that the Lord would help us to be wholehearted before Him. And we want to look at and recognize what God connects to the idea of being wholehearted. It might be different than what we might see expressed or represented, or how we might think about it should be for ourselves, at least predominantly. We turn to Psalm 119, beginning with verse 2, and we'll walk along together with these other verses in Psalm 119 that speak of whole heart. May God bless us to approach it even now with our whole hearts. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with the whole heart. I'll read each of these verses twice. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with the whole heart. Now look ahead with me to verse 10. With my whole heart have I sought Thee. Oh, let me not wander from Thy commandments. Again, with my whole heart have I sought Thee. Oh, let me not wander from Thy commandments. Now look with me to verse 34. Verse 34, give me understanding, and I shall keep Thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Again, give me understanding, and I shall keep Thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Now look ahead to verse 58 with me. I entreated Thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to Thy word. Again, I entreated Thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to Thy word. Now verse 69. Excuse me, I think I made a mistake there. Oh yeah, no, I have it correct. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep Thy precepts with my whole heart. Let's look at that again. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep Thy precepts with my whole heart. And now we turn lastly to verse 145, verse 145 of the Psalm. I cried with my whole heart. Hear me, O Lord. I will keep Thy statutes. Again, I cried with my whole heart. Hear me, O Lord, I will keep Thy statutes. May the Lord indeed bless this, the reading and preaching, hearing, and response to His word, that we would have hearts and ears to hear what the Spirit would say to us this morning, and that we'd respond from our hearts. As Jesus teaches us in the Sermon on the Mount, the heart is the heart of the matter for us. The impetus for this sermon was the last men's study, Jonathan Edwards' book, Charity and Its Fruit. We were studying a section that brought up as a subsection the idea of whole heart related to integrity, related to sincerity, and that led to a search of how often does the word whole heart come up in the scriptures, and I actually found a lot. It comes up a lot in a lot of interesting contexts. But what really was intriguing, and I said to the men, get ready for a sermon coming to you sometime. I would like to explore this in Psalm 119. Six times in Psalm 119 that we've just looked at. Six times. Yes, it's a longer psalm, but nonetheless, recognize six times the phrase whole heart comes up. That is significant. When the scripture repeats itself, especially in a section of scripture that's connected, it is very significant for us. Let's not miss it. Let's study this today. May the Lord indeed bless us. Bless our hearts. Bless us to approach Him wholeheartedly. I bring to you the general idea of all of these verses that are very, very similar. The general idea is this, as expressed in Psalm 119 with these verses about whole hearts. Christians sincerely seek to serve Christ in everything by His help, according to all His commands. That's what it is to be wholehearted. Christians sincerely seek to serve Christ in everything by His help, according to all His commands. Remember, Jesus said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind." This is the first and great commandment. Matthew chapter 22. Verses 37 to 38, quoting what? The great Shema, Deuteronomy 6, verse 5. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God, the Lord is one, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might." And that is the great commandment which follows, and here's what you should do, and here's how you should teach your children to do these commands. You see, that's the great commandment, to love. Love is to keep His commandments. And this is the idea of the whole heart. So it's great for you to obey God's commandments. It means you love Him. It means it's from the heart. Yes, people could obey for wrong reasons, behaviorism, but it won't last long. The Lord helps us to want to obey and obey Him more as a sign that we're approaching Him wholeheartedly. You see, it's not emotionalism. It's not that our emotions shouldn't be involved, but it's much more significantly related to, do we desire and do we will to obey the Lord? Do we find ourselves wanting to know His will and to do it? Romans 12, 2. It's not necessarily how you feel. It's often how you direct your feelings. That's wholeheartedness. That's actually, I think, helpful for us. Not that the emotions shouldn't follow and we should look for that. But you know, we can sometimes wait to do what God says because we're waiting for a feeling. But that's not what wholeheartedness is. It's to do what God says. You know, you think of it this way. I've talked with the children. Sometimes we enjoy meeting all different friends, but I'll teach them to focus sometimes on the friends that maybe you don't have as much in common. Maybe there isn't that same kind of sync of emotion and excitement, but you just find that year over year over year, they are loyal friends, and you find yourselves loyal to them. Some of the friends that have lasted longest in my life were the ones that I found most awkward to be friends with in the beginning. But they're loyal, and you become loyal, and you learn to just keep working together. And many times often, the friends that are so quick, and you're just having all these exciting experiences, you think back and you recognize, boy, where are they now? Where are you with them? For different reasons. And the concern of wholeheartedness with the Lord is not that you would necessarily be constantly woo-hoo-hoo, but that you would, and not that that wouldn't be a result, but a result, not the impetus. The impetus is you come because you love God. You want to obey Him in and out of season. You just desire, because you love Him, to obey Him. That is the essence of wholeheartedness. There are so many people that want to emphasize emotionalism and all these kinds of things we can do in worship to pretend that we love the Lord wholeheartedly, but then we go out and we show we don't, because we don't do what He says. And as you know from the Ten Commandments we just looked at, and from what Christ says in the Gospel of John and what John repeats in his letters, what is it to love God? It is to obey and keep His commands. Jesus says that of Himself. Christian, if you are mine, if you love me, you will keep my commands. This is what it is to be wholehearted. Wholehearted service shows a real relationship that is going somewhere. The resurrection. It doesn't merit the resurrection, but it is a sign of it. And that is to be truly blessed, to have eternal life. And that's what it teaches us in Psalm 119, verse 2, the first time we see this wholeheartedness, blessed. Verse 1 says, blessed too. It is a blessing to be completely committed to Christ. I was going to say to you for the message today, be completely committed to Christ. And certainly that's an aspect of what needs to come out of this in the application. But I want to go a little deeper or recognize the context for the motivation. Recognize, first of all, that it is a blessing to be completely committed to Christ. It is not a curse. It is a blessing to be completely committed to Christ. That's the message for you this morning. First of all, recognize that you are blessed when you give it your all for your King. You are blessed when you give it your all for your King. It's the opposite of the phrase, we have one foot on each side of the fence. You know that phrase we have, that imagery? Picture yourself or someone just sitting on top of a fence. And you got one foot on one side, you got one foot on the other, and you just can't decide which side of the fence you want to put the other leg over and stand down on solid ground and move forward. Or you might think about it this way, positively, wholeheartedness, the idea of whole is to just jump in, to dive in. I couldn't help but think, but like Abraham at Mission Bay yesterday. I mean, that guy, I couldn't get him out of the water for hours. Same place we were for fellowship a week ago. He says, Dad, look, watch. This is what it's like. And he just jumps in. He wants me to see how he is. Head underwater. Body underwater. This is the wholeness. This is the idea of whole and wholeheartedness. To just be jumping in, completely committed to get wet. Completely to be committed to be affected by the water, to be affected by the Spirit all around you, just diving in to the Word. And that's the refrain of all these verses in wholehearted. First, the refrain, the word whole. It just means all. It means every. It means each. You could say complete. Complete. Nothing is held back from God. You don't hold back from God. This is wholeheartedness. And again, often against what you feel, how you feel. Wholeheartedness is not holding back anything about you and your life from God, body and soul. Be encouraged to be remembering this. You have been made whole in Christ. As you're going to revisit with us this evening, 2 Corinthians 5:17, you've been made a new creature. Old things are gone, new things have come. You are complete. You are whole. That's been completed in Christ. So what do you do about it? You put on the new man, all of him. If you think about it, putting on new clothes, as Austin spoke of him, as putting on Christ, you put on Christ. You put on the holy robe Christ gives you. You don't partially dress for the day. You put on the whole armor of God. You take it seriously, how you start and spend and finish your day. See, when you are half-hearted, we have that expression, half-hearted. When you are half-hearted with the Lord, you hesitate. You don't dive in. When you're half-hearted with the Lord, you may kind of mess around for a little while and but you don't really go for it. Half-heartedness causes you to hesitate, and the result is you don't get very far. So, beloved, don't just dip your toes. Start swimming. Take the plunge and see where God takes you. I don't know about you, but I always kind of laugh. The kids, especially Abraham, they just love to jump in that water, but for me, it's too cold. Almost all year long, I am not inclined to jump into the bay or the ocean here in San Diego, which I love because it keeps the air cool. I'm much more inclined to say, let's get a hotel and make sure it's a heated pool, you know. And that can cause us to wait. We know the water's cold. We know it's going to be refreshing, but it's going to take a bit of adjustment. But they'll say after, Dad, if you just stay in for a little while, I know they're right, I just don't want to. But if you stay in for a little while, your body adjusts. And the only way to really adjust is just dive in. get your whole body wet and you start to adjust the temperature. Abraham's like, amen. Take me swimming again, you know. But be swimming with the Spirit. Jump in, take the plunge, and see where God takes you with it. Thinking of that coolness, what does Jesus say in the Revelation? You've become lukewarm. You've lost your first love for me. You should be hot or you should be cold, but don't be lukewarm. You can be hot for the Lord or be refreshing for the Lord, but don't be lukewarm. Dive in. See where it takes you. Because you are blessed when you give all of you to your King. You are blessed when you give it your all for your King, and you are blessed when you give all of you to your King. You know, we speak of people, we speak of ourselves not doing something very well, kind of doing something poorly, not really finishing the job. We have one way of saying it halfway that I won't repeat here, but we do say half-heartedly sometimes. Half-heartedly. You know, we say it this way, their heart or my heart just wasn't in it. We don't put ourselves wholly into something because our heart isn't in it wholly. That's the next concern, the refrain of heart, whole heart, with my whole heart, Lord, all of my heart. The Hebrew word for heart, as you know, levav, means everything in you, mind, heart, emotions, the whole man, especially the idea of your soul, who you are as a person, but particularly I submit to you what is in view is the will or volition. You want to. Because until you really want to, you won't. We all know that's true. Until you want to, you won't do it. Psalm 110, a messianic psalm of Christ, says something about his people. What will it be? When Jesus Christ is working in his people, that people will be described as what? A willing people. Their heart will be in it. Their whole heart will be in it. Makes me remember what is often referred to when we're thinking about work days. The people had a mind to work. Mind and heart are really the same idea. They had a mind, a desire, a willingness, a commitment. And that's why they show up and that's why they do it. And that's why they do it well and they finish the job right. Because they're interested in doing a good job, a complete job, a job that pleases God and others. Wholeheartedly devoted. We might say it is commitment. Heart is commitment. And the whole idea is related to complete. So you could say wholeheartedness is to have complete commitment. That's where everything else comes from. The emotions, the actions, the follow-through comes from starting with complete commitment. Sincerity, you might say. A New Testament reference for the phrase whole heart in Acts chapter 8. Philip is talking with the Ethiopian eunuch, and he says, what's to stop me? He's reading Isaiah 53, and Philip explains it to him, and he trusts in the Lord, and he says, what's to stop me from being baptized right now? And what does Philip say? If you believe with your whole heart, nothing. Now, again, he's not saying with so much vigor and energy that we know. No, he's like, if you truly and sincerely believe. You know, we all express ourselves different ways again. If you truly and sincerely believe, nothing's to stop you. Go now. So what did they do? They went to the water. So, beloved, may you and I go down to the river again this morning, wholeheartedly. May we be wholehearted in our approach to the Lord on this His holy day, that we'd spend the rest of the week more wholeheartedly for the Lord Jesus Christ. May you put your heart into it. May you put your heart into God. May you put your heart into Christ. May you give your whole life to Him. May you be ardent and authentic. May you be devoted and determined. May you be completely committed to God. And don't fake it. Especially at this moment, don't fake it. Because we can go through the motions without any emotion. The emotions are to lead to motion, no doubt, but it's got to be real. It's got to be more than the surface level of emotion. It's got to go down deep to the will, the desire, the devotion, the dedication to the Lord God. And one thing that really sobered and struck us in the men's study, because in Jonathan Edwards' study, it was about whatever you do for the Lord, it could be service, your body to be burned. It could be serving others, giving everything you have to the poor. But if you don't have love in it, it actually doesn't do anything for you. It profits you nothing, 1 Corinthians 13. It has absolutely no value whatsoever for you before God. Now, we know outside of Christ, it would never have that. But even in Christ, if there's not true love, wholehearted devotedness into it, you and I can right now be here and leave, and it doesn't profit us a thing. You might say it will have absolutely no effect in how we live or what we do. If you and I don't approach God with true love, if you and I are just here with our lips and not with our hearts, as Isaiah speaks, it will absolutely do nothing for us. It will not please him at all. Don't fake it. How will you and others see that you are really wholehearted to God? Again, the emotions will be seen in motion. When you give God your all, and when you give all of you to God, you will be seen seeking and serving the King. That's wholeheartedness. Not jumping around, speaking in tongues, having all kinds of emotional nonsense that is usually not based upon the Word of God, and then going out and doing what you want and not what He wants. Completely defying His holy Word that is very clear and very explicit. To go out and to do against what He says is to not be wholehearted, however much you want to yell and have great smells and bells and all those things. It means nothing. It's not real. There's no heart in it. If you and I go out and we disobey His commands, it's not real. It's not genuine. It's not sincere. There's nothing there. We're just a bunch of puppets really strung up on the world's ways. If you are really giving your heart to God, if you are giving all of you and all you have to God, it's going to be seen in your constant seeking Him out, and you're constantly seeking to serve Him. Children will say to their parents sometimes, I was going to say maybe to get a cookie sometimes, but truly I think intending to be sincere, I love you with all my heart. And we say, oh, isn't that sweet? He loves me or she loves me with all their heart. But we know if they really love us with all their heart, how? They're responsive to our commands with a good attitude. And they're concerned when they disobey and know they've displeased us. And they don't avoid talking to us about it, expecting to be disciplined and to be helped to do better. That is a child who really loves their parents. And we are to love our Father, Abba Father, truly from our hearts. This is what is seen in the wholehearted person. Ongoing seeking, ongoing service to God, according to all His Word, with an expression of complete dependence to do it. Complete dependence on Him. Now, this is the largest psalm in the Psalter, as you know, Psalm 119. What is the whole message about? If you were to sum up Psalm 119, what's the whole message about? God's Word, right? I mean, basically, every verse is talking about God's Word, pretty much. And every section of this acrostic, remember, every section starts with one of the letters of the Hebrew alphabet, and every section is basically all about God's Word and our knowing and doing it. It's not just in the abstract about God's Word. Wholeheartedness is about an intimate knowing of God's Word that is seen in our careful doing of God's Word. This is wholeheartedness. Not that you and I just walk in and out of here and heard the God's word, but we're interested in it. We're responsive to it. And we go out and we try to live it better. By his grace, for his glory, yes. But something is working in us by the Spirit that we care about doing what he says. I want you to see that every time this verse talks about wholeheartedness, as you will see the idea of wholeheartedness throughout the scriptures, and it comes up a lot, it's completely connected to what you think about and what you do with God's law. Wholeheartedness is completely connected to obeying God's commands, to knowing and doing his word. So emotionalism, and I'm not wanting to rule out emotions altogether. I mean, we should be excited and rejoice and sing about his love and his commands. But the thing is, when we're really obeying him, our spirits are lifted up. We do rejoice in him more. If you really want to talk about being wholehearted for the Lord, it will be seen in your doing what he says. Because you want to. Because he's enabled to, and you are willing. And you want to do it better and better. And you are grieved when you don't. You want to do his word. That's the connection in every verse when it says, I will be wholehearted. Verse 1, I will keep your testimonies. Verse 10, let me not wander from your commandments. Verse 34, I shall keep thy laws. Yea, I shall observe it. Verse 58, according to thy word. Verse 69, I will keep thy precepts. Verse 145, I will keep thy statutes. Look at verse 45 with me, the last time with my whole heart. It goes on in verse 146, I cry unto you, save me, I shall keep thy testimonies. Seeking God is watching out for his ways. That is the essence of wholeheartedness. Seeking him out to watch out to obey him. That is wholeheartedness. And you can see why I keep emphasizing the contrast, or at least juxtaposing it, not to confuse you with emotion and feelings. Because so often you and I do the opposite of what wholeheartedness is. We listen to our sinful hearts. We listen to Satan. We're influenced by our feelings. And we don't do what God says. We don't pray. We don't read his word. We don't want to know what his word says, and if we do, we don't want to do it. But wholeheartedness is the opposite. The feelings, let them follow, and they will. It is to do what he commands, truly desiring to do it. Deuteronomy 5, verse 29, he says to the church, oh, that there were such an heart in them. Oh, that there were such an heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. Notice the blessing there. You keep your commandments, just like the Ten Commandments says, you can have blessing, and your children for generations will have blessing of mercy for keeping his commandments, which is love. But more particular for now, oh, that you'd have a heart to keep all my commandments always, to keep all, not some, not to pick and choose as if it was some kind of buffet, to keep all my commandments always, not when it feels right, not when it's comfortable, not when there's nothing to lose, not only privately, always. All that they would have a heart to keep all of my commandments always. Think about David. What is said of him in 1 Samuel 13, verse 14, as mentioned in Acts 13, verse 22, David was a man after God's own heart. To be wholehearted is to have a heart after God and not after yourself. It's expressed and seen in different ways we'll think a little bit more about. But if you want to be wholehearted, be like David. Have a heart after God. We're told in 1 Kings 14, verse 8, that David was given Saul's kingdom. Why? Because Saul didn't have a whole heart. He didn't have a heart for God. And he didn't obey God. And then when he got called out for it, he tried to manipulate God rather than just repent, broken before God. A contrite heart, a broken heart before God is what he loves and what he responds to. Saul, he didn't really want to admit he was wrong. He didn't want to ask for forgiveness. He didn't really want to change. And so his kingdom was taken away from him, and he was replaced with an evil spirit that destroyed him in the end. While David was given the kingdom, why? Because it says in 1 Kings 14, verse 8, David was given the kingdom because David kept my commandments. He has a heart after God, and it is seen in that he keeps God's commandments. It says, and he followed me with all his heart. To do that only which was right in mine eyes. You see, wholeheartedness is to be sold out for God. But King David wasn't always. Sadly, we know he also sold out God. In many ways, but the particular one we have in view is adultery with Bathsheba that led to his killing her husband, Uriah, to try to hide it. Certainly, he let his heart go somewhere else. God sends the prophet Nathan to rebuke him. You are the man. And how does he respond? He does not make excuses. He does not try to do some kind of penance like Saul. Well, look what I'm doing here. I'll do this now. What does he do? He's broken before God. He cries out before God, and he writes Psalm 51 as well as Psalm 32. That would seem to be a parallel scripture. There quoted Psalm 32 in Romans chapter 4 to say, how blessed is the man who God credits his righteousness, does not hold his sins against him. But in Psalm 51, very clearly by the title, it's about what happened with Bathsheba and Uriah. David truly repented. He deeply asked God to clean his heart. He asked God, please renew my spirit and please restore to me the joy of your salvation so that I again would begin to teach everyone else how to live for you. Throughout the Bible, I'd encourage you to do a search on the phrase whole heart and look how often it comes up and study where it comes up and what is said. As you look, you will see there is a constant criticism and judgment from God upon his people for not serving him with their whole heart in all his ways. There is also a constant call to return to wholehearted service in all his ways. And then there's a criticism when there is a faking of a wholehearted repentance and it's not sincere, seen by the fact that they don't really start doing all his ways. But there's also the promise of a blessing when wholehearted repentance and service will happen again. And there's a blessing when such restoration of heart and life as persons and as a people is seen in the church. As is cited by other kings like Hezekiah and Josiah, their times of reformation, their rediscovering and repenting over not living the law, their recommitment to it, to stand all day long and listen with their wives and children to the law of God and desire to do it, comes from a whole heart. It's spoken of them. They have whole hearts or perfect hearts. And then there's revival and reformation. And then there is a change in the people for a time. You want to see our church grow? You want to see our nation change? We need to pray God to give us wholehearted worship and service to him, starting with me. starting with us. Like those kings, like David, you will never be perfect. Perhaps that what might be intimidating you right now. I mean, I know for me, I don't want to preach this, Lord. I was curious and now I'm afraid to go there. I don't serve you with my whole heart. I didn't write this sermon with my whole heart. I didn't prepare with my whole heart. I didn't use my week wholeheartedly as I should have. I wanted to, I tried to, and I didn't really try enough because I didn't come wholehearted. Woe is me, I shouldn't even come up and talk about this. Maybe you're feeling that way. Well, remember, repentance, true repentance, is and a concern to do better is part of being wholehearted. It's an expression of wholeheartedness. Look at the end of the psalm with me. David is not claiming to do this perfectly. He's committing himself to it, but he's recognizing he doesn't do it, and he needs God's help. Look at verse 176, the very end of this psalm. That seems so very lofty, but actually it's so very realistic. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. He's convicted. He's concerned. He knows he's just a lost sheep, that without the good shepherd, and he's a shepherd, he knows how much the sheep depend on the shepherd. He knows that he's done for if not for the good shepherd that doesn't lose one of his sheep, keeps bringing them back, helping them stand up and do better. So you and I can say, I will, I want to, and please help me, Lord, and forgive me when I don't, and help me do better now. This is an expression of a whole heart. Because what is the difference? Apathy. I'm really not worried about it. It's good enough. I showed up, I was here, I did some service, that's good enough. I'm going to go do my own thing now. I'm not worried about the fact that I'm not reading God's word or praying much. It doesn't matter to me. I don't care. I'm fine. I haven't been to church in a while. I don't really do anything with my brethren. But apathy is the opposite of wholeheartedness. A lack of concern over our lack of living up to God's law. That's the concern of hard-heartedness. A broken, a contrite spirit, as seen with David, as seen with these other men, according to God's law, that's part of wholeheartedness. An expression of dependency upon God, seeking him out, expressing our complete dependence. As Augustine, I believe it was, says, Lord, command what you will and help me to do what you command. You could say, make me want to, affect my will to want what you will, O Lord. I am completely dependent upon you to grow in grace and to do what you say. This is an expression of wholeheartedness. Does it bother you that you're not where you want to be and where you should be? Good. Do you feel convicted, concerned, sad, not condemned, not scared, but sobered and affected? That's the Holy Spirit working in your heart to make you more wholehearted. If this is not affecting you, that's when you need to be worried. Who was the one that left away justified before God? Not the Pharisee saying, look how good I did and I'm good. But the man who couldn't even look up to God and beat his breast, have mercy on me, a sinner. And in these verses that we've looked at, expressing, I want to be wholehearted with you, there's a recognition, I need your help. And that's an expression of a heart after God. Let's look at that, verse 10, the second part. Psalm 19, verse 10, the second part. Let me not wander from thy commandments. I'm prone to wander. It's like the end of the psalm. I'm a sheep. I am prone to, that's what sheep do. Why do they get themselves in such trouble? Because they just wander away. I'm prone to wander. I'm a dumb sheep. Lord, let me not wander from what? Your commandments. Help me. Lead me, O my good shepherd. Lead me in paths of righteousness for your name's sake. Lead me, help me, guide me. A whole heart expresses this dependence to keep his commands. It has a desire to do it and it asks for help. It doesn't say, I'm going to do it myself. Look at verse 34, the first part. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Give me understanding. Oh, Lord, enlighten my eyes. Give light that I'll see light. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Affect me. Help me to understand. Give me a spiritual insight, because otherwise I will be blind. David again says, create in me a new heart. Renew a right spirit in me, in Psalm 51. Look at verse 58, the first part. I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. I'm begging you, please do this to me. And I'm saying, please be merciful to me because I'm not doing it all right. I want to do better. Please. How can I even approach you, Lord? Please give me your mercy that I can do this. Then look with me at verse 145, the first part. I cried with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord, and I will keep thy statutes. I cried to the Lord, and I said, please hear me. There is this just crying out to God, work in me, quicken me, do a work in my heart. Don't let my heart get cold. Clean my heart. Refresh my heart. Restore my love. Make me cool or hot. Don't let me be lukewarm. This is the whole heart. Yes, a concern to willingly do and love and keep his word. And also a deep conviction and sadness that we don't. And a great request, Lord God, do this in me that I would. You see, because you are sinners, a whole heart is not about perfectionism, but persistence in Christ's perfection. I want to challenge you all there, like myself. You know why we don't progress with a whole heart and more devotedness to the Lord? Because we're perfectionists, and it's about us. And if we're judging ourselves by us and what we think, which is always much lower bar than God anyways, we stop trying. Wholeheartedness is not about a perfectionism because you can't do it perfectly. It's about persistence. It's about growth. It's about development and sanctification because of Christ's perfection. You see, quitting after failing is about you. It's not about God. Oh, you can pretend it is. It's really about you. But after failing, when you continue to follow Jesus Christ, who says, follow me, drop your nets immediately, drop everything and follow me. After you fail and you just want to keep trying to follow again, then it's about Christ. Then it's about Christ. Then it's really wholehearted. For a just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again. Proverbs 24, verse 16. Whole heart is to sincerely keep seeking your Savior, trusting he will continue to know you, his sheep, and you will continue to find him. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Jeremiah 29, verse 13. Do you feel distant from the Lord? James says, draw close to the Lord, and the Lord will draw close to you. Do you feel distant from the Lord? Then you're not seeking him with your whole heart. Plain and simple. If you're not seeking and finding the Lord in new ways in your life, it's because you're just not seeking with your whole heart. You're way too easily distracted by YouTube and Instagram and Facebook and email and talking heads and sin and the lust of the eyes, the pride and flesh. You will find God when you are actually searching for him with your whole heart. You and I often have to look at ourselves, examine ourselves, as William Secker's quotes for a time now in the Bulletin have challenged us. You and I have to do some soul searching in ourselves. Are we really searching out God? Are we just coasting on the way to the promised land? Are we seeking out God to know him better? Or are we content to know him as we do? A whole heart is never content. He always wants to know and serve the Lord better. Seeks him out while he may be found. But Jeremiah, praise the Lord, gives us some hope here. Because again, I seek him with my whole heart. Jeremiah 24, verse 7. And I will give them an heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, for they shall return unto me with their whole heart. He will give you a heart. He's given you a heart. He'll refresh and renew your heart to know him, to seek him out and return unto him. When you return with your whole heart, he'll help you do it. He'll give you that heart. He takes the heart out of stone out, puts a new heart in. Begins with regeneration, continues with this constant conversion as he works in your heart with sanctification. Christ totally sought you out. Be thankful for that. And totally seek out Christ with your heart, who in Psalm 40 said, "To do thy will is my delight." Praise the Lord, he was completely committed. And he completely committed God's law and completely out of love for his heavenly Father. And he sincerely served perfectly God in all God's ways. And this is part of the gospel. For the Christian, he credits that perfection to you by his gift of your faith. He credits his perfect love for the Father to you, his wholehearted devotion to the Lord, he gives to you. And he calls your own heart to respond in kind and to grow in that grace. His complete commitment is how he faced and endured the cross for you. He didn't feel like facing the cross, did he? He cried out, "If there's any way to remove this cup from me, nevertheless, not my will, humanly speaking, but thy will be done." And Psalm 40 goes on to talk about what is it for him to do thy will for the Lord? It's to offer up his body as a sacrifice. Praise the Lord, he loved his Father with complete commitment as a perfect son on your and my behalf. It's also why he is so blessed to rule over you in the world as the mediatorial king, as his reward. You see that in the end of Psalm 22. He is reigning on high now. He has been given the kingdom. He is the king. He's advancing his kingdom. The Gentiles he will have as also to serve him, to reign with him. He is blessed forevermore. So follow him and see that so too you are blessed. When you sincerely seek and serve the King. Look at verse 2 with me again. It mirrors verse 1, but verse 2 speaks of wholehearted service according to God's commands. But what does it say? If you keep his testimonies, if you seek him with your whole heart, you are blessed. You are blessed. I want to challenge you, beloved. You and I don't believe this enough, evidenced by the fact that we don't do it enough and we don't care enough. You are blessed, cursed Christians, you are blessed. What am I saying? Well, that was the message for you on the sermon, in the sermon, on the Sermon on the Mount of Matthew 5, verses 1 through 12. Cursed Christians, you are blessed, because it sounds like you're cursed for obeying and serving the King. But you are blessed, blessed in this life, but especially blessed in what you get in the next life through him. I'm going to turn to the Gospel of Matthew. I want to think about that with you one more time. This idea of being blessed for wholehearted devotion and service to your King, whatever he tells you to do, at the moment he commands. The world will tell you you are cursed, don't do it, don't sacrifice, don't suffer. But Jesus says you are blessed. The beginning of chapter 5 of Matthew. And I'll read verses 1 through 12. And seeing the multitude, he, that is Jesus, went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Another scripture I draw to your attention that often comes to mind thinking about these things. Proverbs 3, verses 5 to 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And it will be a path of blessing. Stay on it. Be constant, be continual, seeking the Lord, leaning upon Jesus, learning from Jesus, by his grace and spirit, living for Jesus. Never stop. Again, wholeheartedness is not perfection, it is persistence. Including when you have to repent and cry out, which he does all through Psalm 119. Save me, help me, quicken me. Zephaniah 3, verse 14. Rejoice with all the heart. I'm going to want to go to a proverb soon to think about that idea more, because the righteous can be glad and sing. In the righteousness of Christ, rejoice with all the heart, or are you not affected and thankful for your redemption and salvation? Rejoice with all the heart. This too is a command. The more you give yourself to God, the more in Christ you will seek and find that it is a blessing to be completely committed to Christ. Be completely committed to Christ, indeed. But recognize, beloved, it is a blessing to be completely committed to Christ. Amen and amen. Let us pray. O Lord God, forgive us for our hard hearts and our lukewarmness. Indeed, create in us clean hearts. Renew in us right spirits. Make us wholehearted. And help us, Lord, in our sins where we have lacked wholehearted obedience, bless us with wholehearted repentance, with a new purpose and endeavor after new obedience. Lord, give us a willing heart. Give us a willing mind, and this the day of salvation. Restore unto us the joy of thy salvation. Bless us to teach others in the way. Lord, may we be sincere. Give us integrity of heart. Bless us to be committed completely unto you. And let that be seen in the way you show and define and describe wholeheartedness, knowing and doing your word. We confess, O Lord, again, that we have not loved you with our whole heart, and we have not loved our neighbor as ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, what we've done, what we've left undone, and how many times we keep doing those same things. Break the chains, O Lord, in new ways. Free us and help us to walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. And let us rejoice in our redemption and sing about it. Let us rejoice to get up again when we fall and walk forward anew on the narrow path that leadeth unto life, because our good shepherd leads us there for his own name's sake. Let us not be concerned about our name. Let us simply be concerned for the name Christ as we bear it in the name Christian. Help us to die unto ourselves and to live for you. Let us say as John the Baptist, we must decrease, you must increase. Help us to respond to you as our King who saves us. Help us to be greatly thankful for our salvation and serve you with joy and gladness. O Lord, touch our hearts, take away the stone, give us a heart of flesh. Soften us anew, break through the ground and pour a new amount of water from the Spirit, and let your precious seed grow up. Let us see obedience to your word in new ways. Let people be able to look at us. Let us be able to look at ourselves in the mirror and see our heart beating and growing for you, bleeding for you, as you show us a desire to know and do thy will, and that it would delight us as it does your Son. Your precious Son, Jesus Christ, who did it for us perfectly, that we can live and talk about this as we look forward to living it indeed perfectly in heaven. In the meantime, O Lord, sanctify us in thy word. Thy word is truth. Quicken us and our spirits by your Spirit. And help us indeed to be blessed to obey your word with all our heart, to cry out and seek you with all our heart, and to push away all those things that would get in the way, to lay down all those sins that would easily beset us and take our eyes off of Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith, in whose name we pray. And all your people said, Amen.